Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week to this program, Bible Crossfire. This program is designed for you to call in, ask your Bible questions, make your points on the Bible as you see fit, even if you possibly disagree with something I say, as long as we do it respectfully, no problem with disagreeing. Last week we were talking about prejudice. We started out by looking at James 2, 1 through 9 and 1 Timothy 6, and we showed that basically being prejudiced against someone because they're poor or even because they're rich is sinful, or social class. In James chapter 2, there were Christians were showing favoritism of the rich over the poor, and he makes it clear that's not right. It's a violation of God's law. You know, it's also sinful, and this is what we normally think of when we think of prejudice. It's also sinful to show favoritism based upon race or gender. Galatians 3, 28, 29 reads this way. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. One, we're all the same. We're all equal. We're peers. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. You're still a full-fledged Christian. Doesn't matter whether you're bond or free. Doesn't matter if whether you're chief executive or lowest man on the totem pole. That didn't have anything to do with your status as a Christian. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, black or white. That's the race doesn't matter. I mentioned black or white. That's where we see a lot of our prejudicial problems with prejudice today, at least in this society. You know, with the black and white thing, I think a lot of the problems stem from the fact that we had slavery in America. You know, it ended based upon the Civil War in 1876, but it probably was going on in this part of the world for even before we became a nation, for 200 years probably before that. And during the Civil War times, a lot of preachers tried to justify it because they saw verses in the Bible that talked about how slaves should treat masters and how masters should treat slaves. And they said, see, it's nothing wrong with slavery. But they were making a big mistake. The kind of slavery condoned in the New Testament would be what we call indentured slavery. It was voluntary slavery. Like back in those days, let's say I was in debt for $100,000 and no way I could pay it off. I could agree to work as a slave for somebody else, maybe a rich man, for 5 years, which means I'm working for him for room and board only, agree to work for him for 5 years, and he pays off my debt. I became a slave voluntarily. The kind of slavery we had here in America was never condoned by the New Testament, always condemned. Here's 1 Timothy 1, verse 10. It says, for men stealers. Now, that's the King James, men stealers, for liars, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. A men stealer is against sound doctrine. The New King James, instead of men stealers, has kidnappers. The simple English New Testament has slave traders. And that's what happened. People, not necessarily Americans, would go over to Africa and point a gun or whatever kind of weapon they had at a family and steal their young men, mainly young men and some young ladies, and bring them back over here and sell them as slaves. And then the white landowners who had a lot of land would buy those slaves. And all of this is wrong. The New Testament would never say it's right to point a gun at somebody and kidnap them, would it? Anybody that's got any sense at reading the Bible would know that kidnapping is wrong. And that's what they were doing. They were kidnapping those young men from Africa and coming to America and making them slaves. And again, some preachers would try to justify it because we can read about slaves and masters in the New Testament, but it was a different kind of slavery in the New Testament, obviously. This verse, 1 Timothy 1:10, outright condemns it. It's just as wrong to be a men stealer, a kidnapper, or slave trader as it would be a liar. It's contrary to sound doctrine, this verse says. I mean, you think about it. Suppose you had an 18-year-old young man, and, you know, as a son, he's your son, he's 18 years old, and he's still living in your house, and somebody comes at night and points at a gun at the family and says, we're taking your son. And they basically at gunpoint take your young son, and maybe there's some third world country that still has slavery, is still legal, and they take him to that country and sell him as a slave there. And it's legal there. Would you think just because it's legal to have slaves in that third world country where they sold your son, would you think, well, that means it was okay what they did to take your son like that at gunpoint, that it wasn't kidnapping? No, you wouldn't think that at all. You'd still think it was kidnapping, even though where they sold him into slavery was legal. Slavery was legal. You wouldn't think that meaning it wasn't kidnapping. Of course not. It's a violation of this passage. We know that. Nobody can read the New Testament and not understand that kidnapping, that men stealing, that taking slaves from families, kidnapping them from their parents and selling them, that's not sinful. Again, the New Testament, when it talks about slavery, is talking about indentured slavery, voluntary slavery. And so this slavery we had for like 200 years in this country, even before it became the United States of America, is probably what has led to a lot of the prejudice and favoritism based upon race in our country. White people, when slavery was first banned and because of the Civil War, probably had a hard time thinking of blacks as equals. That was wrong. That was sinful. Galatians 3:28-29 says there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. They should have considered them as equals, but they didn't. That was a sin. They didn't. They were showing prejudice. They were showing favoritism based upon race. And sometimes the prejudice can work the other way. Blacks can be prejudiced against whites because they realize what our white forefathers did to their forefathers back 200 years ago. And so it can work both ways, but we cannot make distinctions based upon how much money somebody has or what their social status is or the race or gender. This is showing prejudice. And I'll say this, it's prejudice to make distinctions in areas that don't matter to God. Okay? Prejudice to make distinction in areas that don't matter to God, like skin color or how much money you have. We cannot think of ourselves as superior to somebody else because of their skin color or because how much money they have or anything like that, and then treat them as if they're inferiors. That's sinful prejudice. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. So we cannot think of somebody as inferior to us because of race, because of their skin color, because of how much money they have, their social status, their work status, because those things don't matter to God. But let's look at the other side of the coin, we might say. It's not wrong to make distinctions in areas that God makes a matter of right and wrong. We cannot treat somebody as an inferior just because of race or how much money they have. But that doesn't mean it's wrong if we preach against homosexuality, for example. Done a lot of preaching against homosexuality for many years. Had a number of debates with gay preachers and gay churches. Had to preach the truth on homosexuality there. A lot of times they would accuse me of prejudice. They would say, you're being prejudiced against gays like your white forefathers were prejudiced against blacks. It's not the same thing. That's what they claim, but it's not the same thing. Here's the difference. It's not better to be white or better to be black in God's eyes. And we don't have a choice about it anyway. You don't have a choice about how you're born. But you do have a choice about whether or not you're going to be straight or homosexual. You do have a choice. And God makes it clear that straight is right and gay is wrong. So you do have a choice. And one choice is sinful choice. With black and white, you don't have a choice. And it's not better to be white or black. God doesn't care. It's a don't care. Let's show that homosexuality from the Bible, that it was wrong. Well, in the Old Testament first. We're not under the Old Testament law anymore, but let's start with the Old Testament and show that it was wrong. Leviticus 18:22-23 says this, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself. When I'm in the debates with the gay church, this is one of the passages I read, and in a way I have to cringe a little bit in saying it. Can you imagine having to say to maybe a fairly large audience of homosexuals that if a man lies with another man as he would with a woman, meaning lies with another man sexually, it's an abomination and it's condemned really almost in the same breath with lying with an animal. That a man having sex with a man or a woman having sex with a woman to God is like having sex with an animal. That's pretty hard to say to an audience. But you got to tell the truth and you got to be frank about it. You got to be as nice, kind, and as loving as you can when you do it, but you got to tell them the truth. That's the way the Old Testament viewed it. It was an abomination. Homosexual sex was an abomination, condemned in the same, almost in the same sentence as having sex with an animal. Well, what about the New Testament? That's the law we live under. Romans 1. Let me read that. First, let me mention the number. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call. The number to call is 877-655-6755. Here's Romans 1, 26 and 27, the law we're under. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So verse 26 is obviously condemning what we call lesbianism, women changing the natural use. 27 is condemning what we call gay men. It says the men were leaving. Likewise, the men were leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Both types of homosexuality, lesbianism and gay men, are condemned here in no uncertain terms. Not only is it said to be a sin, it's said to be unnatural three or four times. Well, what's that talking about? Well, he said, suppose a man commits adultery against his wife by stepping out with another woman. He's enticed by this beautiful woman. He has sex with her. It's cheating against his wife. It's definitely a sin. It's basically an abomination. It's a terrible sin. But he's not doing something that goes against nature. He was tempted by something that's natural for him. Just like a person who hungers for food. That's natural. Hungers for food. Well, but if he steals to get the food, that's a sin. But he's not doing something unnatural to eat the food. That's naturally what a person would do. It's not unnatural for a man to want to have another woman. That's not unnatural. That's if, when people grow up and reach puberty, that's naturally what they desire. They desire the opposite sex. But to fulfill that in adulterous or fornication relationship, that's a sin. But not only is homosexuality a sin, it's said to be unnatural. Now, I'm going to get a little frank here, a little blunt. You can tell that by the body parts. In plumbing, if you do any plumbing, you know you can't connect a male part, plumbing part, to another male part. It won't work. It'll leak. Plump female part to another female part. You have to have a male part connect to the female part. It goes inside the female part, and then you put the glue in there to make it, keep it from leaking. Well, you can look at the body parts of a male and a female, and you know what's supposed to go on sexually. You know what's supposed to go on by just looking at the body parts. You could tell that homosexuality is wrong, even if you didn't have it in the Bible. But we do have the Bible, and Romans 1 makes it clear that it's wrong. The Old Testament called it an abomination. They were put to death in the Old Testament for this sin. You don't put people to death for speeding. You know, you just give them a ticket. In the Old Testament, you committed this sin, you were put to death. Leviticus chapter 20. The Old Testament condemned it. The New Testament condemned it. Here's another passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Another New Testament passage. This is from the New King James Version. It says, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. So homosexuality is condemned along with these other sins. Fornication, adultery, drunkards. It says if you're involved in these sins, of course, if you don't repent, if you're involved in these sins, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. It's sinful. You can't go to heaven if you're involved in these sins. Now, you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven for homosexual activity. As long as you repent, just like any other sin, but repentance means you're going to quit being a homosexual. Just like if you're a drunkard, you can be forgiven. All you got to do is quit getting drunk, quit drinking. If you're an adulterer, if you're cheating on your wife, that's a bad sin, but you can be forgiven. Just quit, repent, quit committing adultery and get forgiveness from God. But you can't be forgiven for adultery or being a drunkard or being a homosexual if you're not willing to repent. You two men that are married can't just say, God, forgive us for this homosexual relationship. But we're, by the way, we're going to keep on having sex together. That's not repentance. You got to repent. You got to quit being a homosexual. Just like an adulterous marriage, you got to terminate an adulterous marriage. You can't just say to God, God, we're in this adulterous marriage based upon the definition of Matthew 19:9, whoever puts away their wife and, except for fornication and marries another commits adultery. We can't just say, well, we're in this adulterous marriage. Please forgive us, but we're going to keep on having sex together. We're going to stay in the marriage. No, you got to terminate adulterous marriages. You got to terminate gay marriages. You got to terminate polygamous marriages. You can't stay in sin and expect to be forgiven. That's not repentance. And you can only be forgiven for sin if you repent. A homosexual can be forgiven if he's willing to repent. But my point is, it's a sin to be a homosexual. Even if you were to get married, it's a sin to be a homosexual. And it's so that it's not prejudice when we preach against homosexuality, because it's a choice and it's a sinful choice and God condemns it. Whereas the black and white thing, this is not a choice. You don't have a choice about whether or not you're born white or black. And being white or black is not better than the other. So there's nothing wrong with it. Not one's not better than the other, and it's not a choice anyway. Homosexuality is a sinful choice. So it's prejudice, showing sinful prejudice, to think of a person based upon his skin color as inferior to you and treat them as an inferior, as a person not as good as you. That's what's going on. We're talking about racial prejudice. But it's not sinful to preach against homosexuals and tell them they got to repent if they want to go to heaven. Same thing with women preachers. I bring that up. I've done debates with women preachers, and one man especially I'm thinking of accused me in the debate. This was his main argument, Pat. And he was an African-American preacher. He said, Pat, he says, when you preach against women preachers, you're being prejudiced against women, showing prejudice against women, just like your white forefathers showed prejudice against my black forefathers, you know, back 100 years ago. No, it's not the same, because the Bible teaches that women shouldn't be preachers. What do I mean by women preachers? I'm not talking about a woman teaching a ladies' Bible class or children or something like that. That's not what we're talking about. When the whole church comes together into one place, 1 Corinthians 14:23, can the woman deliver the sermon? Well, that chapter in verse 34 and 35 makes it clear that she shouldn't. Let me read that. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. That's clear. But they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. It didn't say it's wrong for women to speak at Burger King or at home. They can do that. But they can't speak in the church when the whole church has come together into one place, verse 23. So am I being prejudiced if I read this verse and say women, it's a shame for women to speak in the church? Is that showing sinful prejudice to say that if I preach that women should keep silence in the church? No, I'm just repeating what God says. It's not the same as being prejudiced against blacks or being prejudiced against whites or being prejudiced against poor people. It's not the same. Again, you don't have a choice about whether you're black or white, and one's not better than the other. But you do have a choice on this, and God has said in the church the men are the ones to do the speaking, the preaching, not the women. He makes it clear. I don't think there's a verse in the Bible that's any clearer on any subject than this verse is on this subject. It's very clear. 1 Timothy 2 is not exactly the same thing, but verse 11 and 12 helps us see that women preachers are wrong. It says, let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not, allow not, a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Well, when a woman preaches in the church service, isn't she teaching over a man? Certainly, if there's any men in the audience. So she's violating this passage. And it's not prejudice for me to preach this passage, to repeat to other people what this verse says. It is prejudice if I look at a black person and say, oh, because he's black, he's not as good as me, and I'm going to treat him as an inferior. That's totally sinful. And people do that. They don't do it as much as they did 100 years ago, but people still do that today. And it goes both ways. But it's not prejudice to preach against women preachers or to preach against homosexuality. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, it says, a bishop must be the husband of one wife. that a bishop and an elder and a pastor, same thing, must be the husband of one wife. Why? Why does it have to be a husband of one wife? Why can't it be a wife of one husband? Because it's a leadership position, and we just read in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. So she can't usurp authority over the man. She can't take authority over the man, but a bishop does, an elder, a pastor, does take authority over men. That's why they have to be the husband of one wife and that not the wife of one husband, because they have to be a man, because it's a leadership role. Done a lot of studies with women through the years, face-to-face studies, and a lot of them have told me what God told me to be a preacher. God called me, the Holy Spirit called me to preach. Ask this question. Why would the Holy Spirit call a woman to preach when the Holy Spirit says in the Bible, in passages like 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2, that women preachers is a sin? Why would the Holy Spirit put those verses in the Bible and then ask a woman to violate those passages? Well, the answer is he wouldn't. Either the woman is lying, and I doubt that's the case very many times. I think women who are preaching, they're not lying when they say the Holy Spirit called them to preach. They think the Holy Spirit called them to preach. They just had a feeling and assumed that was the Holy Spirit telling them something. No, Holy Spirit doesn't talk to us through feelings. The Holy Spirit talks to us through God's Word, the Bible. If you get some kind of feeling telling you to do this or do this, don't ever think that's the Holy Spirit or God telling you to do that. He doesn't talk through feelings. If you got a feeling to do something that runs contrary to the Bible, don't do it. If you got a feeling that you should be preaching the church and you're a woman, don't do it. The feeling is misleading you. I'm not saying the women are lying. Probably they're just self-deceived most of the time, self-deceived. You ought to be able to see that women are not to preach in the church. These passages are super clear. There's nothing ambiguous about them. I mean, it says three times in that passage in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, that women shouldn't do it. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches. That hard to understand? No. It is not permitted unto them to speak. Is that hard to understand? No. It's a shame for women to speak in the church at the end of verse 35. Is that hard to understand? Is there anything ambiguous about it? No, absolutely not. It's very clear. Then why do we have about 75% of churches across America and Canada allow women to preach from the pulpit? Because they're more concerned about what's politically correct, what'll bring in the most people, what they think is right, instead of being concerned about what the Bible actually says. We're not being prejudiced against women when we preach that women shouldn't preach in the church. We're just repeating what God has said. If you're accusing us of being prejudiced, then you're in effect accusing God of being prejudiced because he's the one that said it. It's wrong to be prejudiced based upon race and social status and how much money a person has or work status. But it's not wrong to preach the truth against homosexuality and women preachers. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Toward the end of this lesson, let me read Acts 10, 34 and 35. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. God doesn't care what nation you're from. Whether your ancestors were from Africa or Europe makes no difference. If you fear him and work righteousness, he will accept you. Let me go through a little scenario here to help you understand. If you're white and you fear God and work righteousness, God will accept you. If you're white and do not fear God and do not work righteousness, God will not accept you. It's not faith only. You got to fear God and work righteousness. If you're black and you fear God and work righteousness, God will accept you. And if you're black and you do not fear God and do not work righteousness, God will not accept you. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. It doesn't matter that at all. It just matters whether or not you fear God and work righteousness. And we have to be the same way. God makes judgments based upon who works righteousness. Revelation 20:13 says they were judged every man according to their works. We'll be judged according to our works, not our race. And we have to do the same thing. We have to make our judgments not based upon race or anything else that is a don't care to God, like how much money you have or anything else like that. We make our judgments about whether, based upon whether or not a person fears God and works righteousness, just like God does. He'll be accepted by God if he'll do that. If you want a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me. 256-682-9753.